Please stand for the gospel lesson. Our gospel lesson comes from Matthew 20, 1 through 16. It's the parable of the workers in the vineyard. For the little ones, a denarius is a like some money. It's like $20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have been borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who has hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And now would you bow your heads and pray with me. O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this, your church, in this, your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures, and now to share my testimony. Amen. Before I begin, it is good to be here with you in the house of the Lord. I have missed you all, and I'm looking forward to the next 2 Sundays as we allow Andy and Laura to have some time away. So God's blessings be to you and to me as we begin this message time. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry in such a world of fools as this? What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer. Bah, humbug. You know, these famous words perfectly describe the worldview of Ebenezer Scrooge, the main character in Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Story. And this story first was published in the year 1843. And we're going to be using some of the themes in the Christmas story, A Christmas Carol, as our Advent sermons unravel during the month of December. Like kind of like last year when we did the Nutcracker, this is kind of another series on that way. But it's the story, as we know, of a sad, sad man. But don't worry, because if Scrooge can be redeemed, so can we. Now, when you think of the name Scrooge in our culture, it might mean that somebody is stingy, yeah, that's probably the number one, and or greedy, or someone who genuinely is in a terrible mood at Christmas time. As we know that Christmas is not a happy time for Scrooge, but to be fair, no time is happy for Scrooge. But you see, our story is timeless. Now, the Advent season plays with our notion of time. The church, we gather together in the present to ponder our future hope. And the Charles Dickens story, A Christmas Story, is a beautiful story for Advent because it's in the tale in which the past, present, and future all come together in one transformative night for Scrooge. And when we think about the coming of the baby Jesus, when we think about Christmas, The past, the present, and the futures all come together in that one transformative night. Now, before we get into the bulk of things, let's establish one thing, that things change. And sometimes our past is our defining point. So I have a new thing. I have a new favorite snack. It's not animal crackers anymore. Do you know what it is, anybody? Cracker Jack. How many remember Cracker Jack? Okay. This has nothing to do with hope, but I just got to say it because things change. And sometimes things change, just the little things. I bought a box of Cracker Jack. I was at Big Lots. They had like three for, 75 cents. Reminded me when I was a kid. Take the Cracker Jack box home. What am I digging for? The prize. Do you know that in a box of Cracker Jack, the prize isn't in there anymore? You have to pull the thing out and you have to go online and see what your prize is. Wow. But things change. And maybe Christmas isn't what it used to be. But there's a promise that's made here at Christmas about what the present and our clear future is. And it all centers around hope. So today, as Chad said in our children's message, today is the Sunday of hope. And as Chad, I love Chad dearly, but as he kept going on at the end there, he's got my whole sermon. So that's okay, Chad. Things don't change. He likes to talk. That's good. But anyway, the story that we have of Ebenezer Scrooge is so timeless that generations have enjoyed it and Disney has redone it. But one of the things that's blaring that sometimes we don't focus on is that one of the things that happens at the very beginning of the story is we find out that the character Jacob Marley, Scrooge's counting partner, was dead. But Scrooge is alive and he's kind of dead inside because nothing affects him. And Dickens even says that even the warm weather cannot chill him. But the only thing that we know that sways him is money. But there's another thing that's deeper that I want to focus on today is that if you read in the story, Scrooge never painted out Marley's name above their warehouse door. Even though Marley had passed away, he still had that name there and stood there after years and years. And see, part of Scrooge's problem was this, that he clung to the past because his friend, Marley, was the only thing that represented what he trusted. And that's work, frugality, unwavering discipline, and actions that can be, number one, weighed, number two, measured, and number three, counted. You see, when you look closely at the character of Ebenezer Scrooge, you find someone who does not have any hope. Now, as we've talked about today being our first Sunday of Advent as hope, I want to go back into the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. Do you remember there that Moses, he led the people out of Egypt from slavery, and then they had to travel for 40 years in the promised land? And so people at first were on board, but after that, they lost their hope because it was taking so long, or the twists and the turns that happened. And so we're told that the people complained about Moses and Aaron, and because they were living in a wilderness and they were caught between where they were and where they're headed. Interesting, I think Jesus coming unto this earth tried to get us from defining ourselves by our past, but defining ourselves in the present and to the future glory. And that's why God so loved the world that he sent his only son. But you see, the Israelite people were caught between that, where they were headed. And you know what? They became like Scrooge in their relationship with God and one another. And so instead of trusting God and one another, they kept looking over their shoulders, lamenting about the way things were. My brothers and sisters, Advent is like living in the wilderness between what was and what will be. And even though sometimes the promised land may be far off for us, we are to hold tightly to the promise of our God. For as the book of Hebrews says this, he who has promised is faithful. He who has promised is faithful. You know, I think sometimes in the story, as we dig deeper, we can see how Scrooge lost that sense of hope. And sometimes when we lose hope, we become hard or calloused, or maybe we become indifferent. But we're called today to know that our first leap of faith this Advent season, this Christmas, is that God is always before us. And God is always there leading us in the hope so that we can go from living in the past to being in the joy of his present and in the future. This is our first leap of faith this Christmas. Now, I've been going around the West Ohio Conference this year doing charge conferences for the district superintendent. And one of the things that we've been talking about at each church has been, how has God been before you as a congregation? How has God been before you in your personal lives? And one of the things that we realize as we go back before in the book of Exodus, like I talked today, God led the people out of the wilderness by two things. What happened by the day? He said there's a cloud by the day and a pillar of fire by night. And God led them. But I want to say this. If we're really real about things, we know that sometimes we don't see that cloud and sometimes we don't see that pillar of fire. And once again, that weighs on our hope and our indifference. You know, but sometimes we see that and sometimes we don't. But I want to point you to one scripture in the Old Testament that goes like this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, that's such a great scripture, because sometimes God does these miraculous things, big signs in front of us. And sometimes he just gives us a little glimpse. You know, back in the Old Testament days, that lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. The lamp back then was probably about this size and had a little wick that went down the side of it. And when you lit a lamp in those days, all you could see would be your next step in the dark. So imagine that. All you can see is that next step that you're going to take. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's hope is sometimes found in that pillar or that cloud, and sometimes it's just found in the next step that he illuminates for us. But we need to remember that God is faithful. God is faithful. There's a passage in the book of Galatians that says this, as we prepare our lives and to be in God's service. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, and whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit will have eternal life. Now, if you think about Scrooge's way of thinking, he was definitely a man that thought, you reap what you sow. But you see, he took it out of context. He took it out of context. So today I want to bring that back into context, because that's where he lost his hope. And so the grace today is that God's economy is not based on the rules of the world, but it's based on grace. And if there's one thing that's going to give us hope, if there's one thing that says, what right do we have to be merry, it's God's grace. And that's where we get this wonderful story today that, you know, it probably makes people like Ebenezer Scrooge just crawl out of their skin, because Jesus tells us about a landowner who hires workers into the field. And And we're told that he does that all day. And, you know, he brings people in and he promises to pay them wages. And so people go into the field, and we're told there are people there early in the morning. And then we're told there are people there at noon and maybe 3 o'clock and maybe 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. But at quitting time, he lines them all up to get their day's wage. And he says, you know, let's have the ones that started at 4 or 5 come first, and then everybody else. And people got excited. If you'd been there since 8 or 7 in the morning, they got excited because they thought, you know what? If they're going to get a day's wage, we're at least going to get time and a half. You know that feeling when you get time and a half? If you've ever been in a job, that just feels so good. But when they get to the front of the line, the landowner gives them a full day's wage as well. And what does this do? It makes them angry. It makes them angry and it makes them bitter. Now listen what the landowner says. Can I do with what I want with what is mine? Or are you envious because I'm gracious? You see, if our relationship with God is solely you reap what you sow, and we don't hear the other part of that Galatians message, then Jesus' parable makes little sense. If our relationship with God is you reap what you sow, that means that grace is unattainable. But you see in the parable, the reward is not the day's wage. The reward is the invitation into the field. It's a picture of God's grace because the landowner goes out and keeps calling. And he goes out and brings laborers in all day. He never stops. He never ceases the invitation. So it's not the wage that is our reward. It's having a God who will never stop offering us an invitation to be in the kingdom. A God. Now, listen how hopeful that is, that our God never stops offering us an invitation to be in the kingdom. Going back to Scrooge can't see it. And that's why we're told in the story that one night he's visited by the only person he can trust, and that's Jacob Marley. So, my brothers and sisters, work is not the point in the kingdom of God. The work and the reward is working and being called. And that's the thing about God's grace. It's an amazing, amazing gift when it's offered to you. Now, this is the biggest struggle I think sometimes we have as Christians. We hear that word, that passage from the Galatians, how we reap what we sow and how we're responsible for us. And if we're in sin or someone else is in sin, you know, we need to follow God's command and we need to go to them. Okay, all that. But working is not the point. It's about God's grace. And here's the thing. Isn't that great when it's offered to us? But most Christians struggle when grace is granted to someone we don't think deserves it. It's a tough thing to accept. And perhaps that's one of the most significant struggles that we have at times as Christians. Maybe that's one of the most significant struggles why Scrooge had no hope and could not find a connection to hope. In my practice in Hamilton, it's the end of the year. And we're getting ready for our end of the year Christmas gathering. And it's been a great year. And so I start that same process thinking as in my own mind, what do I want to give to my employees? What type of a bonus should I give them? And you know, it's an amazing thing because I realize even as the landowner, even as the business owner, that it's really not about what production people brought in. It's about people coming together in our practice, a Christian counseling practice, reaching out to those in need. It's not the money, it's the work. And that gives us hope. And the same thing to us today. It's not the money, But it's the work that God calls us to and he blesses us with. And because of that, we can go from not defining ourselves by our past, but defining ourselves in who we are and who we're meant to be in his name. You see, we got to claim God's grace. But not only that, the book of Galatians says that we then need to, once we've been redeemed, we have to treat others with that same redemption. And sometimes that's going to mean treating others who are not like us, maybe who we feel don't deserve that. You know, probably one of the most sorry things that I think a person can go through is go through a trying time and then be brought back from it only to lose your hope again. And that's the thing about being a Christian. That's the thing about being under the love of Jesus Christ, is no matter what happens to us, that we have the hope that God will redeem us and that God gives us freely his unmerited grace. Marley's ghost offers Scrooge that dire warning, because Scrooge is totally focused on money, but he doesn't know his heart because he's lost any type of hope. So as we move forward today, we may say, what right have you to be merry? We have all the impetus in the world to be merry this Christmas, because the hope of that God gives us at Christmas, in our calling to be faithful followers, to work in his field, we're not only the recipients of God's grace, but we're called to be the givers of God's grace. We have a lot to be merry about this Christmas. And I pray that as we go through Advent, we'll hear those words, bah, humbug, and put a smile on our face. Because our God is awesome. Our God is leading us from our past, redefining us in the present, and pointing us to a future glory that is amazing. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, you're so good, and we just are awed by your presence. And Lord, now as we come to the time of this service where we're going to receive the sacrament, Lord, we remember that you so love the world that you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, for us, to die for us, so that we might not perish but have eternal life. And so, God, as we go forth today, may we remember the real story, the real redemption of Scrooge, in the sense that hope is something that we are all given, and that we're all called into the field. And God, we thank you so much. And we praise you and bless you. Amen.